Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have
a choice.
You have the power to choose. Choose righteousness. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Things are definitely happening. It's going to continue to happen until Jesus returns, and then real things are going to happen. Let me tell you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Papa. Now, the Word of God tells us that as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. So we know that the battle is in the thought system. It's the battle of the mind. Amen? That's actually the battle of the soul, because the soul is associated with the mind, will, emotions, imaginations. So in this arena of the soulish battle, the soul must be converted or it's easily swayed. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. One of the things God is trying to do is get us in a position where we are free. It's his desire that his children be free. It's a freedom position. Amen? But one of the things that the enemy does, because the word says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, get a new one. Now, you can't buy it in the store or order it on the internet. You are responsible for relinquishing your old mind to get a new one. There's an exchange going on. The only way you can get in a position of freedom is to have a new mind. There's a new mindset. You see things differently, hear things differently, you interpret things differently. There's a mind of the world and there's the mind of the spirit. We still carry the mind in the world in us. It will always be against God. It will not submit to the things of God. And the mind of the world will hinder you if you allow it to. So there must be a separation between the mind of the world and the mind of the spirit, which is your new man. The problem that many people have is because they're still living at an emotional state of being. Everything to them is a feeling. So whatever the feeling is, they believe is true. Has anybody ever been hurt? Emotionally hurt. You've been offended, you've been whatever. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But when you express it, you seal it. Does everybody get it? I want everyone to say, when I express it, I seal it. That means it's been sealed, burned. And the enemy has access to it now. Until it's been cut loose, severed, and gone. In other words, the purpose of the enemy to attack us in the areas of the thought pattern with voices is to prevent us from getting in a position of freedom. Because as a man thinks, he is. Say it with me. As I think, I become. So if everything that comes up to us, now the enemy doesn't always come up and speak to you in that arena. He'll shoot a dart of an emotional dart. It will remind you of something from before. Usually, 99.9999%, it's your past. Hello. What he's trying to do is always reattach you to these emotional traumas, emotional fears, emotional hurts. How about emotional regret? Emotional failures. In fact, sometimes we even try to live off of our emotional successes. One of the things God is trying to do is to get us out of that arena, but it can't happen until the soul has been converted and the spirit man becomes stronger. See, if someone was to throw a stick at you and hit you on the arm or the body, you would feel a physical hurt. Amen? And usually you can put a Band-Aid on it and take care of it one way or another. Eventually the pain will leave. But emotional hurt is different. It's totally different. It's burned in memory. It's burned in the soul. And in this burning of the soul, every time something is familiar to that same arena where you were hurt, it will reactivate because it constantly runs in a cycle. So the enemy knows this, so he tries to plant, I want to call breadcrumbs. So that you pick up the breadcrumb of emotional hurt and it feeds it again. This is how he puts people under mind control. Through the soul. Because the soul is the mind, the will, emotions, imaginations. So until an individual is willing and ready and desiring to remove all of this emotional hurt and stop sealing these things of everything that they feel, they can never enter a position of freedom. They'll dance around it. They'll put one foot in it. But they'll never live in it until this is gone. And that's one of the things the Lord is trying to bring us to, is in a position where we are free. Literally free. It's the same thing in addiction. Addiction is an emotional attachment. It's an emotion. In fact, addiction is nothing but an overwhelming desire. It's like lust. Lust is an overwhelming desire. So is addiction. But there are many things that can trigger addiction because things are associated. What do they tell you? Stay away from people, places, and things. Why? Because those things are breadcrumbs. Until that emotion is dealt with, severed, and replaced, there will constantly be a breadcrumb feeding. It will recycle every time. But when you are free from it, no matter what's going on around you, will not affect you. It will not affect you. Now, don't get me wrong. You stay in a bar long enough, you're going to get bit by enough serpents, you're going to want to eventually drink. But I'm sharing with you can go to events where people are drinking and doing whatever, and it will not bother you. And you'll have the sense enough and discernment to say, it's time to leave. But it won't affect you. Because that emotional desire of addiction is removed. That's why we bring people through the process through the Word of God. That's why we bring people through the process of confession. Because you're confessing the Word, you're eating light, and light is driving out all darkness, which is deception. But it's our responsibility to bring these attachments up to the surface and cut them loose. So if a stick is thrown at us, it can hit our body and can scratch us, but we know that it can heal. But the enemy shoots a dart at you, it hits your soul. But your soul is not you. Your spirit is. So there must be an understanding that no matter what, you're untouchable. Only your mouth will take it from the soul and contaminate your spirit. Is everybody okay? I'm going to say it again. Only your mouth will take it from the soul and contaminate your spirit. But the enemy cannot touch your spirit. But he can touch your soul and convince you to say something where you actually contaminate yourself. Praise God. That's not in my notes. Is everybody okay? This is reality check. You know, you think about how many times when we started feeling sick, we go, oh man, I feel bad. Well, you just sealed it. Usually you feel worse afterwards, after you've sealed that promise of self-condemning. Don't get me wrong, you know. We don't have to lie about it. Somebody says, you don't look so well. I'm going through it. I believe the enemy is trying to put a bug on me, but he who's in me is greater than he who's in the world. Can't touch this. See, what you first say will come back right on you. It's like the enemy catching your words and going slap right in the face, like a pie. That's why we must be careful of our words. Because as a man thinks, he will speak. How many of y'all know that the enemy tries to get you in an angry state of being? An offensive state of being? A jealousy state of being? What's he trying to do? Trigger an emotion. That's all he can do. If he can trigger an emotion, he's got you. Amen? That's all he can do is trigger an emotion. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Oh, happy days. Freedom's position or positional freedom, whatever you like, I don't care. It's a position of freedom, amen? We want to access this place of a position where we are free, not managing. 2 Corinthians 3, 12, let's speak it. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, a veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? The Lord is the Spirit. So if the Lord is the Spirit, he will promote the mind of the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. So only where the Spirit of the Lord is or has access to can there be freedom. So what the Holy Spirit's trying to do is allow me and you to give him the access to every part of our members, our memories, our total being, all of our emotions, all of our hurts, every area of our life, all of our rejections, so that all things can get cut loose and he can position us in a place of freedom. Because only where the Spirit of the Lord is there freedom. But remember, the mind of the world that's still in you always rejects the Holy Spirit. Always. That's the carnal mind, the old man. So if you're allowing the old man to control your life, he will always reject freedom. Because he is a life of bondage. Only where the Spirit of the Lord is and dwells, there is freedom. This is a positional place in the Spirit where we are free from self, we are free from sin, and we are free from fear. Self is the old mind, the old man. Sin is the presence of evil. Everyone, and fear is an emotional state of being. In Galatians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. So, that's why the word says to be led by the Spirit, because he's always going to lead you into a position of freedom. So again, we go through trials and tribulations to expose our enemy and expose our contaminations of our spirit that we sealed and allowed in by our own mouth. That's how we contaminate our spirit. Your mouth contaminates your spirit, not the enemy. Galatians 5:16. Snap. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the flesh is a representation of the old man. Amen? So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in a place of freedom. You're not allowing, in other words, you are walking in a place being led by the Spirit instead of by and by the mind of the Spirit instead of by the mind of the world, the old man. It's not about just being filled with the Spirit of God. Yes, that is vital, isn't it? But this is not what he's talking about. He's saying walk in the Spirit. In other words, walk in the mind of the Spirit. Submit and obey the mind of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the mind of the old man. For the flesh, the old man, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish or that you think from the old man. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh, the old man, are what? They're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, whether you're a believer or not. Those who practice such things have no access into the kingdom. Why? Because that's a position, isn't it? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the old man, the flesh, and its passions and its desires. So when you truly are in Christ, in the Spirit, you're in a place of protection. The old man doesn't have, can't get to you. The only thing he can do is send you a piece of paper, make a plane, and throw it at you. And it has a note in it. If you choose to pick it up and read it, you can be condemned. Self-condemning. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now that is so powerful. If we say that we're being led by the Spirit, we're living in the Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, then submit to Him. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Why? Those things will move you out of position. Amen? Live and walk in the Spirit is a positional place, resulting in freedom from self, sin, and fear. Where there is selfishness, you know, look at, you know what this place is called? Survival. When you are in a place of surrender, you're in the Spirit. When you're in a place of survival, you're not. Because you're about yourself, you're associated with the presence of evil, and you are in fear. 2 Chronicles 20. Freedom's position. Oh, how Daddy wants us to get there badly. Second Chronicles 20, verse 14. Everybody say practice.
Practice.
makes perfect. Now, let's confess something else. The devil can throw stuff at me, but he can't touch my spirit. So all those areas of hurt and pain and fear are not of me. Does anybody get it? It's not of you anymore. If you are new, then it's not of you. So it may have hit your body. It may have hit your soul. But who are you? You are a spirit. See, once we begin to understand this, and listen, I can only share this because only through the revelation and by the Holy Spirit, by my visitation from the Lord, when I did not even know the Bible, I didn't know nothing except for Him. My spirit man was born again, filled and strong. My soul tried to act up and it would be shut down. My flesh would try to act up, it would be shut down. There was an automatic no. My spirit man was strong in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit and would say no to any activity that my soul or my flesh tried to bring up. God allowed that to happen with me until there was beginning to be an exchange of His Word, converting my soul. But in the meantime, it didn't matter what my soul was like. It didn't matter what my flesh was like. My spirit had dominion and control over both of them. That's being filled with the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He was the Spirit. His soul and His flesh had no dominion over Him at all. That's why He could always say, "The devil's got nothing in me." 2 Chronicles verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Zeli, the son of Manathiah, a Levite of the sons of Ashphah, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in an assembly. Amen? And he said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go out against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerol. You will not need to fight in this battle. What? Position yourselves. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. And do not fear nor be dismayed because tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I want you to know that in this place of position of freedom, you know God is with you. You know who you are. Your true identity is so lit up that nothing or anything can change you. You know who you are. The fight was for position. But once in position, there was no fight anymore. It was the Lord's fight. There was peace, joy, and righteousness in that position. There was fellowship, communion, and relationship. Psalm 37. Oh, happy day. Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers. Don't fret. Don't freak out. Nor be envious of workers of iniquity. In other words, don't be envious. Don't be jealous. How many of you know God is not a respecter of person? But will God grant one person more favor than another? Sure, because He trusts them more. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. What does He say? Trust in the Lord and do what? Do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Trust. So you're going to trust in his promises. You're going to feed on his truth. And you're going to delight in his presence. That's why he's called the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to trust he's got the way for you. You're going to trust, you're going to feed off of his truth. And you're going to delight yourself in a new life. So there's a place of positional rest. Endurance. And patience. When you're in this place, you are at rest. You have patience and you have endurance. Why? Because you're going to trust in his promises, you're going to feed on his truth, and you're going to delight in his presence. That will keep you positioned. In this place, there is rest, endurance, and patience. There's no fight of selfish survival. In this place, there's no desire for sin. And there's no anxiousness for wants. None. I'll say it again. In this place of position, there's a rest, endurance, and patience. Amen? There is a fellowship, a communion, and a relationship. There's no fight of selfish survival. There's no desire for sin. And there's no anxiousness for wants. Why? Because in this place, you know everything's going to work to the good. No matter what. And you know God's going to bring it to you. Because he's with you. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Let's speak it together. Is everybody there? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because the person's in position. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you understand? He's positioned. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's in position. He can confess this. All in this position. He is your shepherd of guidance. There's no want, no fear, no failure, but goodness and mercy and victory. Because you trust in his promises, you feed on his truth, and you delight in his presence. Many, many live out of a life of trauma. And it prevents them from being positioned. It is a state, what it does is it's a state of being, it causes the mind to reject freedom. In fact, it begins to feed. It's only feeding off the wrong things now. It's feeding off of emotion. And it's preventing that individual from stepping into the place of freedom. In 2 Corinthians 5:16. living a life out of trauma. Second Corinthians 5:16. You remember the, what was it, Friday night? I think it was. After we got done praising and worshiping and I had the vision, I saw the Lord's hand and it was glowing and beautiful and it was going into the hearts of men. And he was going in to heal. He was going in to change. He was sticking his hand in there and I saw hands going, slapping God's hand away. Because they were allowing their emotions to become their God. They would rather live in how they feel, whether it's miserable, fearful, anxious, jealous, hatred, anger, whatever it is. They were allowing that to overtake that position of freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because they're still living out of emotional trauma. Look, there isn't one person in this room that hasn't gone through something. Everyone's had emotional trauma. It's mad. Had that. I look in the mirror sometimes and go through emotional trauma. Oh my God, what happened to you? Hallelujah. Verse 16. I used to go through emotional trauma a lot in the old life. Second Corinthians 5:16. Let's get there. Let's speak it together. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh of the old man, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. What's he trying to do? He's trying to no longer allow, he doesn't want us to look at Jesus the way he used to. Jesus isn't that way no more. You see him now, he freak you out. He freaked out those that went up on the mountain with him, right? When Moses and Elijah showed up. Wow. He changed. Now he's he came as a prophet and a messenger. He came as a savior. He's coming back as a warrior now. People are going to freak out when they see him now. That's my dad. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in him, he is what? He's new. Now, is that position? Yes. Now, here's what follows. Watch this. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Well, if you're not in that position, old things ain't passed away yet. You're still holding on to your emotional poop. And your fruits stink. Does everybody get this? He who's in Christ is brand new. It's not a one-time event. It's all the time. If you're in, you're new. The old things have passed away. All the angers, the frustrations, all of that garbage is gone. Until you open that next letter. Or that paper airplane that comes across. Then you read it. The problem is, you speak it. Then you contaminate your spirit. Verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So if you truly are a new creation in Christ, all things have passed away. You're not living from your past, you're living from the future to the present. And here's the other kicker. Are you ready? Verse 20. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors of Christ. Now we're a witness, a true witness. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In that position, you were producing righteousness. A new creation is freed, a freed individual from the elements of worldly distractions, worldly attractions, worldly deceptions. You are freed from elements of worldly distractions, attractions, and deceptions, and you are awakened in a new reality of existence. Everyone say, I'm awakened in a new reality of existence. Why? Because when the old things have passed away, you realize that you are somebody else. You're not who you used to be. I tried to tell the judge that. Back my attorney said, shut up. They'll lock you up. But it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me. It wasn't me. There were nobody. I wasn't trying to convince myself it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I knew it. I wasn't me. Same fingerprints. But it still wasn't me. Somebody was using my body. It was a demon. Well, not just one. But it wasn't me. But the world wouldn't understand that. Acts chapter 17. Oh, happy day. Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are very religious. In other words, they had a desire and they were attempting to escape from the heavy burdens of existence in the temporary realm. I'll grab hold of that for a second. What were they trying to do? They were attempting to escape the heavy burdens of existence in a temporary reality or in a temporary realm that we call life today. Isn't everyone trying to escape? Every person in the world is trying to escape this place. They don't even know what they're trying to escape from. They're just trying to escape. What's going on? What do you need to escape? I don't know, but I just need to go. Everybody's trying to escape. They're trying to escape themselves. They can't figure it out because it's not an outer escape. It's an inner escape. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, you know, I see that you're very religious because you guys are doing all of this foolishness. Verse 23, he said, For as I was passing through and considering all the objects of your worship, then I even found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. So out of all of these idols of gods, they put one in there that they didn't know the name of. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing... Him, I want to proclaim to you. I want to introduce you to this one. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Wow. So that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Surely these times of ignorance and stupidity God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent and turn from these idols. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Again, they had a desire and they were attempting to escape the heavy burdens of existence in a temporary reality that we call life in this world. They were searching for answers through philosophy, intellectualism, through invention, through worldly wisdom, through theory. Boy, there's a lot of theory out there, man. But they never were able to escape because only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way of escape, and that's through him. So he pre-appointed times and boundaries. These are the temporary realm versus the eternal realm. There's a difference that there's an area of bondage in the temporary realm and freedom in the spirit realm. There's a battle between positions. The powers of darkness are trying to take the place of the freedom realm. They're trying to prevent you from entering the freedom realm. If they can prevent you from entering the freedom realm, they can take it. Again, our only freedom is in Christ. It is a position in Christ, in him. Anything else is not free. Ephesians chapter 1. So where there's a flawed belief system, there is a flawed perception. That means a man, as a man thinks, so he is. Keep him out of the freedom position. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's speak it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. That's in a position. In this position of freedom, every spiritual blessing is you have access to. Not without that position, you don't have access to it. That's where people are trying to call these things and do all kinds of, well, I'm blessed in every spiritual. Well, you ain't in a position of freedom. So how can you access these places? You can't. Because the person is in bondage then. You're either free or you're bound. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, listen, does God love you? Yes, unconditionally. Is his desire to free us? What does it take? Cooperation. That's the price of freedom. Why? Because your cooperation will get you in that position. It says in him. Everyone say, I'm in him. In him we have redemption through the blood. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, are you going to receive your inheritance if you're out of position? No. Do you understand how vitally important it is to be in a position of freedom? In him also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, in other words, you were fed by it, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The position of freedom is only in Christ and in him, where we trust in his promises, we feed on his truth, and we delight in his presence. 2 Peter 2. Why do you think people, look at, what about when people grumble and complain? What are they actually doing? They're contaminating their spirit. Second Pete chapter 2. Oh, happy days. When Jesus won. Glory. Verse 1, is everybody there? Let's speak it. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemy. Is that happening now? Amen. Seems like every Democratic political person is doing this. Remember, they're all serpents. They got the serpent tongue, man. That's why they speak perverseness and lies. And they always accuse on the other to be a liar and a racist and a sexual pervert and whatever else, when they're the ones that are practicing it. But anyways, God knows, doesn't he? In verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, because it is coming. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, he will do the same to the Democratic Party. Oh, no, wait a second. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. I'm telling you, we should all be feeling like Lot. Because it's disgusting. It's terrible. It's repulsive. It's contaminating. But thank God, can't touch this. In verse 9, then the Lord knows how to what? Deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of their of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord, because it's going to come no matter what. They don't have to say nothing. Amen? There will be false teachers and prophets. There will be false politicians. There will be false judges. There will be all kinds of false companies to bring people and prevent people from entering into Christ or pulling them out of Christ, the place of freedom. That's why we have doctrines of demons. That's why we have false religions and bondages of religions. Remember, people are trying to escape. The problem is people are choosing door number three. And door number three ain't God's door. So they're choosing every false door that there is and falling into all these arenas and groups. See, because one of the things man wants to do is feel accepted. And in this false emotional desire to feel accepted, they run to the world to feel accepted. In fact, when I grew up, everybody was in gangs because we felt accepted. We hung with people that we felt accepted with, whether it was good or bad. We felt accepted because everybody wants to feel accepted then. But when you are born in the Spirit and you are positioned in a place of freedom, you already know you're accepted. That's how you got there. Because by the invitation of that location, you were accepted. Oh, yes. Proverbs 16. See, you didn't ask for the invitation. God invited you. Thank you for inviting me, Lord. I really appreciated that. Sheesh. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Let's speak it. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at what? Peace. That's a position. Even your enemies will be at peace. Does everybody get it? It's a position of freedom, a place that pleases the Lord. That is a place that pleases the Lord. And when you're in a place that pleases the Lord, your enemies are at peace. Hello. Now, I want to share something. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Oh, yeah. There's something about this position, this freedom position. It is a place of acceleration. It is a place of what? Acceleration. You move, you grow, everything accelerates. When you're not in that position, you become stagnant, stunted. In this place of acceleration, the position of freedom is a place of acceleration. And what it does is it connects you to the supernatural. You have faith. Everything's accelerated. Even your senses are accelerated. Everything is accelerated. Things are moving fast. But you're sensing the movement. Is everybody okay? Does everybody get that? It is a place of acceleration. We are in a season of acceleration. Things are moving very fast. Time is moving fast. Everybody even notices that. I mean, all of a sudden, you got gray hair. It's like, whoa, what happened? Or something else, you know. You lost them, praise God. Gosh, what happened? I just woke up. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Let's speak it. For to this end, wrong chapter. Here we go. Therefore, we make it our what? Aim. Now, when you're aiming at something, you're trying to what? Position. You're trying to get a bullseye, right? So that's a position, isn't it? So he's saying, therefore, we make it our aim. We make it our aim to what? Get in this position. Why? Whether present or absent, to be what? Well-pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Wow, they boast in appearance, but not in heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Again, an aim is a targeted position. We aim. It's a targeted position where freedom comes by pleasing the Lord. Amen? So when you're in this position, you are pleasing God. If you're pleasing God, is he trusting you? Amen. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. It's acceleration time. Verse 9, let's speak it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, again, there's an acceleration in this position. You're increasing in knowledge. There's more revelation. Amen? You are bearing good fruits. Your works are fruitful. Verse 11. Strengthen with all might their strength, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So we're to be walking worthy, and that happens from being positioned in this place of freedom, which produces good fruit in all works. John 15. And one more scripture. In verse 1, John 15, verse 1, let's speak it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So you can expect a pruning. So when the pruning comes, I want to share something else that's vitally important. Much is given, much is required. You'll find more chastening, more rebuking, and more correction from the Lord. Why? He wants you to bear more fruit. It causes pruning. Amen? See, so if you stick one finger out of position, you can expect a chastening. He doesn't want you to leave that position. He'll do everything to keep you in that position. Rebuke, chasten, whatever it is. He'll do everything to keep you in that position because he wants to get everything to you. It is the only place the enemy can't steal from you. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Watch this. Now, is this place, when we talked about this place as a place where we are, we're trusting in his promises, we're feeding on his truth, and we're delighting in his presence, right? Okay, so then in this place, we are abiding in him. Why? There's communion, amen? There's relationship and fellowship. It's a place of abiding. So he says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him here bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will what? You will ask whatever you desire, and that shall be done for you. Why? Because you're going to ask according to his desire, not yours. Because you're a new creation now. So your desires are totally different. Amen? So you're not going to ask for selfish things. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Hello. I'll take a Lamborghini that says Jesus the Christ on the side, but I'm not praying for it. Hello? When he sends it, he sends it. Because we are going to ask for things that he wants. Now, there's things that he sends you that he knows the desires of your heart to surprise you, because he's a daddy that loves to bring gifts. You don't know what's going to show up at your doorstep. Hallelujah. Surprise. God, you love me? Verse 8. By this my Father is what? Glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? Disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. It is a place of joy. Everyone say, joyful heart is good medicine. Praise God. Oh, one more scripture, I'm sorry. Philippians 3. Oh, happy days. One more Philippians. Freedom's position. Glory. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your what? Your own salvation. I'm in the wrong chapter. What acceleration. I already went through chapter 3 and went to 2. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Hey, that was a good scripture, you know. It was a snapping good scripture. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. Get in position. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Let's try this again. Take 2. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on. That I may lay hold of that position for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for the things which are what? Ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this thought pattern. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have for us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. We press toward, we grab hold of the position of freedom. Amen. Freedom's position is available for every single one of us. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the revelation that was released. And I'm asking, Lord, to bring an illuminated revelation to each and every one of reality. I know you released a lot of stuff to us tonight, Lord, so we just ask that by the Holy Spirit it would be digested, interpreted, and then executed in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Praise God.